Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. This is the broadcast for August 29th in the year of our Lord, 2022. Hour two of two. The promotion of God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property is what we're all about. We reject revolution. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. And ladies and gentlemen, the checks and balances are one of the great solutions we have at our fingertips. I've got my buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on the radio. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me, Sam. It is good to be with you.
All right. Really quick, I want you to comment on a couple of things just really fast. First one is this Bruce Reinhart guy supposedly released the affidavit on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago raid. The problem is it literally says nothing because it's so redacted. Any comment?
Well, it's probably what you and I both expected, Sam, the fact that it's redacted. I mean, there have been memes floating around the Internet where the affidavit that is, the whole thing is redacted. I mean, it's all blank, basically, except just two or three words. It's pretty funny. I think that it's probably what I expected from establishment, Sam.
Amen to that. Here's one thing that we pointed out. There's three cases to highlight for Donald before the unconstitutional raid took place on Donald. Number one, Ammon Bundy. Number two, Lavoie Finicum. And number three, Vicky Weaver. Two out of the three happened while Donald was president, pretty much, right? The problem with Donald Trump, sadly, is he is part of the system that he claims to be fighting against, even though he thinks he's against it, even though he may mean to be against it. Uh-huh. He's surrounded himself by swamp monsters to the point where, look, ironically enough, Christopher Wray, the deep statist, that's who Donald put in place that now turns right around and raids Trump. The FBI, uh-huh, ladies and gentlemen, let's be very clear, is under the authority of the Department of Justice. Let's be very clear. The Department of Justice is under the authority of the President of the United States, who is elected by the people. So, ladies and gentlemen, the truth of the matter on this is Donald Trump put all this in place. He didn't get rid of a single government agency when he was in power. So my goal is not to attack Trump, but my goal is to put a reality check on this. You've got the always Trumpers and the never Trumpers. And then you got guys like me that look at it honestly and candidly and say Trump did a lot of good, no question. He also did a lot of bad. He also missed a lot of opportunities. And putting Christopher Wray, the deep statist, in charge of the FBI was a mistake. It came back to bite Donald good. But Donald wasn't doing anything when they were attacking Ammon Bundy. And when Lavoie Finicum got murdered, Donald Trump didn't reach out and talk about, hey, we got to abolish the FBI. Look at the way they murdered Vicky Weaver, unarmed with a baby in her arms, standing in her own porch. Okay, Donald didn't do anything, and therefore now the deep state that we didn't get rid of when we could have comes back to bite us, and all the Republicans could say now is, golly, ain't that horrible. Please send me money so I can get elected, so I can fix all this. But they never fix anything. They've been promising to abolish the Education Department as long as I've been alive. They promised to abolish Obamacare. Nothing happened. We just go down the road, down the road, down the road, and the reason I spend so much time on this is because it actually relates to the topics that we'll be discussing in a minute. Any final comment on that, Lowell?
Well, you're exactly right. You're spot on, Sam. And because politicians benefit from the status quo, right? I mean, they do not want to do anything. Because if they do something, it's going to make somebody mad. And so politicians they benefit from inertia. As long as they can just ride along and really not rock the boat, but maintain power, they're happy. And so the way to make them unhappy is to make them uncomfortable doing nothing, right? And so we have to make it uncomfortable for them to maintain the status quo if we really want any substantive change to happen. And that's one of the reasons we teach our classes, from the foundation of the applied conservative leadership, the political leadership school, we call it, because there in that school, we learn how to make politicians feel uncomfortable about doing nothing. And so we just need more people to be engaged in the fight and make, you know, because, and really the closer to home you do it, the better. I mean, I'm talking city councils, dog catchers, whatever. Yeah, your local sheriff is probably the most important position. County clerks. I mean, these are the positions we really ought to be fighting to secure. Because they're the ones that are going to be making decisions that will affect us the most in the long run, Sam.
And while we discuss issues at home, which are critical to discuss, whacked out Joe is spending money like you could not believe. Headline says more billions to Ukraine as America falls apart. Incredible column written by Dr. Ron Paul. Roughly 200,000 illegals crossed the border in the U.S. in July. Why do we throw so much money at foreign countries? Well, we can't even protect our own borders, lol.
Great question, Sam. One of the reasons I really like this column is just to prove, well, to illustrate where this foreign aid goes. You know, they call it foreign aid, but it doesn't go to some foreign country. It goes to the military-industrial complex right here in U.S. of A. Just listen to this. Ron Paul writes this, quote, supporters of this proxy war, and so he's talking about Ukraine in this. When he says proxy war, he's talking about the conflict there in Ukraine versus Russia. He says supporters of this proxy war may celebrate more aid to Ukraine, but the reality is that it is in no way aid to Ukraine. That's not how the system works. It is money created out of thin air by the Fed and appropriated by Congress to be spent propping up the politically connected military-industrial complex. It is a big check written by Middle America to rich people who run Raytheon and Lockheed Martin. Americans watch their budget being stretched to the limit while the Beltway fat cats loosen their belts to continue enjoying the gravy train. End of quote. Now, folks, this is where your hard-earned tax dollars go when Congress approves this so-called aid package for Ukraine or for any other country, whether it's, you know, Ukraine or Syria or Iraq or, you know, whatever the country. It doesn't matter. The money doesn't go to Ukraine. It doesn't go to these foreign countries. They call it foreign aid because it sounds good. But it doesn't go to the foreign countries. It goes to armament manufacturers like Raytheon and Lockheed. And that's the biggest point I just wanted to make out of this column, Sam, is that the foreign aid is basically a wealth transfer from taxpaying members of our society to big in military-industrial complex armament manufacturers right here in the U.S. of A. It's diabolical. And you know, I don't think I really understood that until pretty recently. But I love the way Ron Paul makes the point. Foreign aid goes to military-industrial complex, you know, armament manufacturers like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin. Sam?
That's a significant portion of the money, no question. But it also ends up in the wrong hands. Oftentimes, the opposition in a given country, whether it be the side we're backing that becomes our enemy tomorrow, that used to be our friend, or whatever you want to say, or whatever, a lot of times that money and those weapons and those capabilities fall into the wrong hands as well to murder our sons and daughters. Ladies and gentlemen, let's be very, very clear about that. And you know what? Why are we defending other borders when we cannot defend our own? The founders were very clear on a lot of this stuff. We've got to defend the guard and uphold the Constitution, law.
Absolutely right, Sam. Defend the guard legislation, which is state-level legislation, would prohibit the state's National Guard units from being deployed to active combat without a formal declaration of war by Congress, as provided by the U.S. Constitution. Now, make no mistake, folks, we shouldn't need this, right? States should not have to pass a law in their state that forbids the governor from releasing troops to go be deployed into active combat. Because why? Well, because the Constitution says that the Congress has exclusive authority to declare war or not. And without a formal declaration of war, these units should not be being deployed. But because the general government has arrogated this authority unto itself, it goes ahead and it calls up these National Guard units from your state and mine and deploys them into active combat. And that's absolutely flat out wrong. But if we can, you know, and so, you know, given the fact that that authority has been taken from the states, you know, by the general government, the states have to claw it back. And one way they can do that is by passing Defend the Guard legislation. You know, it'll force Congress to do their job, which is to declare war or not. That's what needs to happen. Now, House Bill 2732 in the West Virginia legislature is an example for all state legislatures. Yeah, I just wish somebody in the Utah legislature would sponsor a bill here. I wish legislators in every state of the union would sponsor a bill similar to the one in West Virginia. But we, if we want this wish to come true, we got to raise awareness about it. And we need to increase public awareness in the states, in every state, so we get more than just one state passing this legislation. And when we get back from the break, I'll tell you what's happening in West Virginia and why the rest of the states need to look to them for the example.
You got it. We'll do it in seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Lowell Nelson and Sam Bushman. Freedom's Right, or To Preserve the Nation is Scott Bradley. This is...
Come celebrate the supreme law of the land at Loving Liberty's Constitution Day dinner. Have you ever asked yourself, what's so great about America? Find out with guest speakers Lawrence Reed from Atlanta and Jeff Utch from Tucson, Arizona. We will also be introducing our new podcast, Ask an Immigrant. Join us Saturday, September 17th at 7 p.m., located at Liberty Hall, 3677 North 2000 West, Far West, Utah. Get your tickets today at lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, back with you live. Talking about blowing the end of the last segment. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is, Lowell Nelson Campaign for Liberty is with me, but I was trying to think of the website, ronpaulinstitute.org. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron Paul wrote an incredible column, More Billions to the Ukraine as America Falls Apart. Then we're talking about all these illegals crossing our borders, ladies and gentlemen. We can't protect our own borders, but we can spend literally millions and billions of dollars on Ukraine, ladies and gentlemen. The $775 million that just went to the Ukraine last week is the 18th weapons package to the Ukraine in 6 months, ladies and gentlemen. We are spinning ourselves into oblivion over this. But Defend the Guard is legislation on a state level. We can uphold the Constitution. We can back off on this spending. We can make a difference, and we can understand the founding father-esque view of foreign policy that very few in modern times have the guts to articulate. Ron Paul's one of them. Lowell and I are a couple of them. You know, we need a humble foreign policy, as our founders articulated. But let's talk about what's happening and what's going on in Virginia, because they're providing some great leadership, Lowell.
They have House Bill 2732 in the West Virginia legislature, and so it. I'm just looking for the history on this. Oh yes, here it is. Defend the Guard legislation was first introduced 2015 in the West Virginia House of Delegates by Pat McGeehan, who's a Republican from Hancock area over there, and he has introduced that in that chamber every year since. So from 2015 to the present. That is Pat McGeehan, and he is a graduate of the U.S. Air Force Academy. He served as an Air Force intelligence officer across the Middle East. Now, in 2019, a motion to bring the legislation from committee to the House floor for final action received bipartisan majority support, but the Speaker of the House refused to bring the bill up for a final vote, and it died when the legislature adjourned later that year. Okay, so from 2015 to 2018, those 4 years, it was introduced but never brought to the House floor. In 2019, finally, the fifth year they attempted, it was brought to the House floor, but the Speaker of the House refused to bring it up for a final vote. The following year, 2020, Defend the Guard received a tie vote on the House floor, 50 to 50. And then the bill, died, when they adjourned because of the COVID-19 pandemic, right? So that's how close they got to passage of the Defend the Guard Act in the West Virginia legislature in 2020. Now, I don't know what happened in 21 or 22 yet. I'm still working to get that detail, but it hasn't passed yet, or we would have heard about it. So it probably passed the House there, but and it's probably stuck in the Senate. We need more states. We need more legislatures to consider this legislation and to pass it. Now, West Virginia, I'm sure they have a great bunch of National Guard people there, but that's just a drop in the bucket compared to all of the National Guard units across all the states. And so it's really going to take a certain number, a critical mass. It's going to take several states. If one big state like California were to pass this, they would have an immediate impact. But if it's small states like Wyoming and West Virginia and Utah, it's going to take a bunch of us little states, less populous states, to make the impact. But the reason we know that this will have a big impact is because every time the legislation is introduced and heard in committee in West Virginia, they send the two-star generals out to testify against it. So they actually bring out a lot of firepower, a lot of brass, and just persuade and persuade and persuade, cajole these state legislators not to pass the legislation because, it's going to cripple us and we're not going to be able to defend ourselves. I mean, all kinds of stupid reasons.
It's a great
reasons.
Lie, ladies and gentlemen. Defend the Guard. Uphold the Constitution. Look at putting a legislative piece in your state, a bill in your state, to back this effort. You can point to several presidents that have highlighted this reality as well, Lowell.
Yes, very much so. The first president I would like to highlight is President George Washington. In a speech the U.S. Senator Mike Lee gave on the Senate floor about the War Powers Resolution, he said that the founders could not have been clearer about this, especially the greatest founder of them all. And of course, he was referring to Washington. He says, when the Miami and Wabash Indians attacked Americans north of the Ohio River between 1791 and 1794, President George Washington confined his military operations to only defensive measures. The Constitution, Washington wrote, vests the power of declaring war with Congress. Therefore, no offensive expedition of importance can be undertaken until after they have deliberated upon the subject and authorized such a measure. End of quote. See, this was not just humility or modesty. It was his duty as president. And then he went on to say this. He says, under the Constitution, whose drafting he oversaw as president of the Constitutional Convention, and to which he swore his oath of office, the power to direct war resided with him as commander-in-chief, but the power to declare war resided exclusively with Congress.
And that's why presidents of modern day, including Donald Trump, are derelict in their duty, sir.
Absolutely right, because every time we launch some preemptive strike on some country or some faction or some group, we are, you know, coloring outside the line. We are exceeding the warrant in the Constitution. And because Congress should be the one, the sole authority when it comes to declaring war. Now, one other thing that that I found very interesting, Sam, was that I listened to a YouTube video last night, dated April 8th of this year, where David Iglesias interviewed Dan McKnight. Now, Dan McKnight is behind, he is spearheading this Defend the Guard effort all throughout the country. And Dan McKnight mentioned the wars in which the U.S. has been engaged since the last declaration of war in 1942. Now, this list will just knock your socks off. The last time U.S. declared war, you know, the Congress, they did their constitutional duty. They declared war on Romania, Hungary, and Bulgaria in 1942. That was the last time, Sam, the very last time. Now, what wars have we been engaged in since then? Just listen to this list. The Korean War, everybody knows about that one. What about the Lebanon crisis? The Vietnam War, everybody knows about that one. What about the Bay of Pigs? Dominican Civil War. The Korean DMZ enforcement, Lebanon again, Grenada, Libya, the Persian Gulf Tanker War, Panama, Gulf War, Iraq no-fly zone enforcement, Somalia, Bosnia, Croatia, Herzegovina, Haiti, Kosovo, Afghanistan, Yemen, Iraq again, Northwest Pakistan, Somali Civil War again, Operation Ocean Shield, Libya again, Uganda, Iraq again, Syria, Libya again, and a shadow war in Africa right now today, pursuant to a 2021 AUMF regarding Afghanistan, authorization for use of military force. These have been abused over and over and over. Now, Sam, that list just knocked my socks off. I had no idea, that we've been involved in so many wars, undeclared wars, since 1942. Yeah, I knew about the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and the one in Afghanistan and Iraq, but boy, this list just makes me ill that we have not been following the Constitution. Congress is derelict in their duty, and the president he's impeachable because he is executing war, these preemptive strikes on these countries without a formal declaration of war by the Congress.
Thomas Jefferson was equally explicit on this point.
He said, quote, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. And then President Monroe, the fifth president of the U.S., formalized that policy in the Monroe Doctrine, which the first point of which stated that the U.S. would not interfere in the internal affairs or wars of other nations. And of course, returning again to President George Washington, he said it is our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliance with any portion of the foreign world. Now, Sam, I found these quotes in an editorial in January 2020 written by Idaho Lieutenant Governor McGeechan, where she stated clearly her support for Defend the Guard legislation.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Good stuff on your radio with Lowell Nelson. Back in a flash.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As the redacted FBI affidavit that authorized the FBI to invade President Trump's Florida home left Americans with more questions than answers, a federal judge in Florida on Saturday says she's willing to grant Trump's request for the appointment of a special master to review the evidence seized by the FBI from Mar-a-Lago. In a court filing Saturday, U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon indicates she's for a special master. Taylor Swift took home Music Video of the Year at last night's Video Music Awards in Newark, New Jersey.
I thought it might be a fun moment to tell you that... that my brand new album comes out October 21st.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
For eligible individuals 18 and older only, results vary. Audio effects do not simulate actual hearing aid experience. See website for details and important safety information.
How are your hearing aids sounding now?
A little tinny.
Okay, 2 seconds.
With hearing aids from Lively, everything is done remotely in the comfort of your home, from initial testing to adjustments.
How are they sounding now?
Fantastic. With Lively, you get premium Bluetooth-enabled hearing aids at thousands less than you might expect. Advanced hearing aid technology is now affordable and convenient. Your hearing aids are sent right to your door. And if you have any issues, we'll make adjustments 7 days a week for 3 years. No charge.
Oh, you people at Lively are wonderful.
With Lively hearing aids, you get free shipping, 3 years of follow-up care included free, plus a 3-year warranty with loss and damage coverage. You can't lose.
I hear better than I ever thought possible.
And now through Labor Day, get $300 off all rechargeable hearing aid models. Just go to listenlively.com. That's listenlively.com. listenlively.com.
The student loan debt will be a hot topic this week.
This past week, President Biden unveiled his college loan forgiveness program, which will allow people making less than $125,000 a year to wipe away $10,000 worth of loans, and those who received Pell Grants to wipe away another $10,000. Missouri Republican Senator Roy Blunt talked about the program while appearing Sunday on ABC's This Week, criticizing the move coming at a time when the Fed Reserve is talking about slowing down the economy even more to curb inflation.
You don't slow the economy down by forgiving debt and giving people another $24 billion to spend that they would have been spending paying off the student debt that they borrowed. And when you pay off the student debt that they borrowed, other people have a chance to have that money in the future to use for their opportunity to go to college.
That is Tim Berg reporting on USA Radio News.
President Thomas Jefferson, ladies and gentlemen, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. George Washington highlighted this same point. It's our true policy to steer clear of permanent alliance with any portion of the foreign world. Now, President Monroe formalized this policy with the Monroe Doctrines, ladies and gentlemen. The first point stated, the U.S. won't interfere in the, quote, internal affairs or wars of other nations. So I guess my question, Lowell, is what part of that does Donald Trump and does Joe Biden not understand? Why are we in the Ukraine-Russian war? Why are we funding one side? Why are we spending billions and billions and billions of dollars overseas while our border leaks like a sieve? It makes no sense.
That's a darn good question, Sam. It's because, in my opinion, because the military-industrial complex, you know, lobbyists are there filling the campaign coffers of the congressmen to do their bidding, right? They don't want the gravy train to end. And so their decisions they make are designed to you know, keep the money flowing, keep the gravy train running. And it's perverse, but I think that's what's happening. And that's why states have to take this drastic action to force the general government to follow the Constitution. We just have to force them to do it. I mean, 45%, Sam, 45%, that's almost half. 45% of the soldiers deployed in the global war on terror have been National Guardsmen. Can you believe that? That's almost half of our foreign, you know, military. It comes from the National Guard. But if states would stand up and say, look, we're not allowing our people to go in active combat unless Congress formally declares war, then the military would not have half the people to fight with, right? And it would they would be so concerned that they would actually say, okay, well, we better go get a declaration of war then, and then it would be truly up to the Congress to have that authority, to exercise that authority that only they have been given. They're the sole owners of that authority. They can't delegate it to the president. These bills that they passed called Authorization for Use of Military Force, the AUMF, those are bogus. Those should be declared void on their face, because Congress does not have the authority to delegate the war-making power to the president.
What I really think we have, Lowell, is an education problem in America. I don't think that the people understand this humble foreign policy. I don't think the people understand. We've been taught and propagandized to just wave the flag and you know, promote war heroes. And, you know, we become a warlike people. We've got to jettison that narrative and teach the people and our state officials to understand, look, there's very limited times that we have to go to war. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The more hands you put the war-making decision in, a.k.a. the House of Representatives and the people, the closest to the people you put the leaders that would put us into a war, the greater chance you will avoid war by the very nature of, you know what? In numbers, there's wisdom. In numbers, mm-hmm. there's caution. When you put the people involved with their children will be the ones going to war, their sons and daughters, they hesitate. Only going to war if it becomes absolutely essential to do so, not on the whims of a given leader or president or military industrial complex or whatever. Now, there's wars around the world that we need to avoid, foreign entanglements, for sure. We need to quit spending that money. We need to hold Congress and our president accountable for the checks and balances and the responsibility there, too. But there's an equal war going on in the United States right now over COVID, ladies and gentlemen. Believe it or not, the COVID reality check is startling. I've been saying this since the very moment COVID, the weaponized virus, came on the stage, and I maintain my position. We've been vindicated, Lowell.
We certainly have, Sam. It came this month, the August report from the CDC. Basically, they have changed their tune, Sam. They've changed course on COVID strategy. Now, they didn't really come out and say, oops, sorry, guys, we made a mistake. That's not how they operate. But instead, they issued a report, and you have to read between the lines in order to really understand what they're saying. But, so here's what they say. Here's an example. Quote, as SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, continues to circulate globally, high levels of vaccine and infection-induced immunity and the availability of effective treatments and prevention tools have substantially reduced the risk for medically significant COVID-19 illness, severe acute illness and post-COVID-19 conditions, and associated hospitalization and death, end quote. Now, notice the phrase in that, Sam, where it says the phrase infection-induced immunity. So what does that really mean, infection-induced immunity? Well, what it really means is natural immunity. That's what they're talking about. And that's what you and I have said for 2 years, Sam, is that natural immunity is by far more effective than, synthesized immunity through a shot or through a vaccination or something like that.
And they mocked us till the cows came home. They claimed we didn't have degrees, that we didn't know, that we were peddling fake news, that we were dishonest, that we were pretending we were medical professionals when we're not. And they literally had a heyday abusing us over this. Now they blatantly admit in a roundabout way, I say roundabout way because they They don't want to admit it as blatantly, but hey, the fact is they know we were right and they admit it, Lowell.
That's exactly what they did, Sam. Here's another quote from the report. All persons should seek testing for active infection when they are symptomatic or if they have a known or suspected exposure to someone with COVID-19, end quote. So here, the CDC suggests testing isn't necessary unless you have symptoms, right? That's what they said. Active infection when they are symptomatic, right? Seek testing when they are symptomatic. Well, duh. Remember when they warned us about asymptomatic carriers, Sam? They said, you probably are carrying right now, even though you don't have a cold or you don't have the sniffles or anything, you're
and
probably
by the way,
carrying.
This is the first time in history that they literally locked down healthy people. We've never had that happen in America, ladies and gentlemen. It was unprecedented, and it was on Donald's watch.
Yep, exactly right, Sam. Third and last quote that I'll make here. CDC's COVID-19 prevention recommendations no longer differentiate based on a person's vaccination status. Because breakthrough infections occur, though they are generally mild, persons blah, 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 blah. So regardless of vaccination status, Sam, that's what they're saying. Regardless of vaccination status, protocols are the same. Now, we haven't heard that for the past 2 years. In other words, it used to be that everything hinged on vaccination status. If you weren't vaccinated, you couldn't go to the gym, couldn't go to the restaurants, couldn't go to the sports arenas, couldn't do concerts. There's a whole host of things. You couldn't even open your business, right? If you weren't vaccinated and you didn't force all your customers to be vaccinated. That's what we heard for 2 years, 2.5 years. Well, here they make this admission that regardless of vaccination status, that means you whether you're vaccinated or not, the protocol will be the same. It's awesome, Sam. I mean, even though they didn't come out and say, oops, they really, in a tacit sort of way, reading between the lines, said, oops, we were wrong. You guys were right the whole time. And so I'm just happy for the admission, Sam. You know, I mean, I'm happy for the admission. And you can read more about this, folks, at thetruthaboutvaccines.com. You can read the whole article. It's really, really good. And obviously, you know, we're not out of the woods entirely because there's still a lot of people that will be, you know, they'll throw on the masks when the next virus is reported as being out there. But it's essential, folks, that we stop believing the lies. We have to refuse to comply, right? We have to speak the truth no matter the risk. And otherwise, we're going to lose this battle. And so we just have to continue to fight. Don't comply. Speak the truth no matter the risk, Sam.
And the courts have done a pretty good job at shutting down those who want to track us all, lock us all down, do all these things. We'll tell you about a California court. We'll also talk about what the CDC has also done, in addition to several courts that have stood with the people against the Biden regime. We'll do it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
As a parent, Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
The courts in California, Ohio, and Florida handed Biden's head to him when he's tried to violate all of our liberties. Lowell?
The California Appeals Court ruled that all mandates forcing churches to close are unconstitutional. And a federal judge in Ohio blocked the military's vaccine mandate nationwide for the Air Force, the Space Force, and Air National Guard members who had requested religious exemptions. And then just last week, a federal judge in Florida ordered class action relief and granted a class-wide preliminary injunction against the federal government's COVID shot mandates for all U.S. Marines, whether they are active or in reserve service. And so these were very encouraging developments, Sam, just in the last month or two, where the courts have begun ruling in favor of, you know, one's liberty, one's choice to not get vaccines, not to, you know, and so that's, you know, that I think that's fantastic, because we've got people in the military who were getting shamed, you know, had required to get the vaccine or face discharge, I'm not the type of discharge where it's bad. I can't know what to call that. But instead, with these rulings now, you don't have to get kicked out of the Army or the Marines just because you refuse to take the shot. I think it's a great development, Sam.
Amen to that. The CDC has also removed the recommendation that people quarantine based on contact with someone who is or might be infected. They also got rid of the 6-foot distancing rule, which had no basis in science in the first place. We told you that, too, Lowell.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't know what they're going to do about cleaning up all those silly stickers on the floor of all the businesses across the country, but hopefully they will disappear quickly as well. But I don't know. And plus, the CDC dropped their test-to-stay rule for students, which had supplanted the original quarantine rule. So, you know, we're seeing some progress in the universities and in the schoolhouses as well, Sam.
Amen to that. All right, Second Amendment defense, Missouri. We're talking about the several states right now, it looks like. But Missouri AG doing a phenomenal job, Lowell.
Eric Schmidt is the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. He sent a letter recently to FBI Director Christopher Wray demanding that the FBI cease their attempts to illegally obtain information from local sheriffs on Missourians who have concealed carry permits. Now, it turns out that Missouri law specifically prohibits the sharing of information on concealed carry permit holders to any entity, local, state, federal, or otherwise. So this is what he wrote in his letter. He says, quote, "The FBI has absolutely no business poking around in the private information of those who have obtained a concealed carry permit in Missouri. The Second Amendment rights of Missourians will absolutely not be infringed on my watch. I will use the full power of my office to stop the FBI, which has become relentlessly politicized and has virtually no credibility, from illegally prying around in the personal information of Missouri gun owners." End of quote. I'm so proud of this guy. The Missouri AG's office, they became aware, you know, that the FBI was planning to travel to Missouri in August, that's this month, to do audits, so-called audits, at sheriff's departments across the state. which would include harvesting information on those who legally obtained concealed carry permits. And so he goes on in this letter, says this, quote, "It has come to my attention that the FBI has informed several Missouri County sheriffs that they will be showing up in August to audit CCW permit holder records. The FBI states that the audit includes an on-site review of your concealed carry weapons permits," end of quote. And then he says this, "Let me be perfectly clear. Allowing federal agents from the FBI to have access to records of Missourians who have a permit to carry a concealed weapon violates Missouri law and infringes on our Second Amendment rights," end of quote. Now, Sam, I especially like this one paragraph in his letter because it exposes the legislative intent. And so this Eric Schmidt, who's currently the attorney general, apparently he was a former state senator in Missouri because he writes this, quote, "I was a state senator when this law was passed, and I proudly voted for it. In fact, we deliberately wrote the state law so that only the elected county sheriff has access to the CCW list that you FBI folks are trying to get. Here in the heartland, we elect our county sheriffs who are members of our community. The same cannot be said of your out-of-touch FBI," end of quote. Oh, I love that. I just love that.
Amen.
I hope he
that
follows through, Sam. I really
There's
hope he
follows
There's
only one other thing
through.
I wish Missouri would do, and that would be to create a constitutional carry and get rid of the concealed mm-hmm. carry or these other things. So they've got a little bit to go, but what leadership by the state attorney general there in Missouri. What a hero. What an example. States need to take a page from that playbook. I'll tell you that right now, Lowell.
Well, and I hope that the sheriffs in Missouri, I hope they'll refuse to cooperate with the agents from the FBI, because that is one of the four things that Madison prescribed in Federalist Number 46, a refusal to cooperate with officers of the union. And so that's what those sheriffs in Missouri need to do. They got the letter from the FBI. I hope that they will write back and say, "You're not welcome here. You know, I'm not going to give you that information. You can come visit the state all you want, but I'm not giving you that information. So just, take a flying leap." That's what I hope those sheriffs in Missouri will do, to just refuse to cooperate with officers of the union. That is the prescribed way to nullify any unconstitutional act of agents of the general government, Sam.
Amen to that. And by the way, there is for sure one sheriff. He's a Republican. He's in what's called Scotland County, Missouri. He's the sheriff there. His name is Brian Whitney. And he basically said to his residents, "Look, I will not comply." Now, the agency threatens to arrest him, but he says, "Look, if I have to go down, I will. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not turning over any of this information. Not willing to do it." He said, "Even under the threat of arrest, I will not release this information. They don't have any authority for it. There's no precedent for it. And I will not give that to them." Now, I find this fascinating because this goes along the line of Sheriff Richard Mack's win over Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. This should be settled if people know how to use the court case precedent in our favor, Lowell.
Anti-commandeering, basically, is the doctrine. And that doctrine was verified, fulfilled, and vindicated in the Sheriff Mack Supreme Court decision. And so, that sheriff you just mentioned in Missouri is fully within his rights to deny that information to the federal government, because the federal government cannot commandeer any state officer for any reason. You can't force a state officer or a sheriff of a county to give you information. You cannot do it. It's just unconstitutional. And so, that sheriff was fully within his rights to deny that information. Sam?
Roger that, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a battle on our hands. On literally, it seems like everything you can imagine. It's just shocking. The FBI basically has a statement where they're attacking Missouri over this. And in my mind, the FBI is just out of control on so many fronts, ladies and gentlemen. Why aren't people calling for the abolition of the FBI? That's my question. Why are people so quiet, so taciturn, whatever term you want to use? We need to get bold and say, look, these unconstitutional agencies that are acting rogue without authority need to absolutely be stopped. And the only way to stop them that I can tell now is to completely shut them down. Okay, they're unconstitutional, so we just need to shut them down.
Hey,
all right,
one
final
other point.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to make about this, Sam, on your show is because if they're going to Missouri, they're also coming to your state. And this is a national show. That means you've got people all over the country, Arkansas, Louisiana, Vermont, Arizona, everywhere. And so if the FBI sent those letters to sheriffs in Missouri, you can bet that they are coming to a sheriff near you. So no matter where you live, no matter what your state, then, you know, you and if you're a sheriff listening to this show, you can bet that they're going to be coming after that information in your jurisdiction as well. So just be prepared and, you know, gather your courage and just nullify, you know, their attempt to get that information from you. And
quadruple down on the pushback, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get it done. Speaking of the several states, Arizona is in an interesting battle. Lol.
This is another piece of awesome news, Sam. I don't know why we're talking about so much great news this week, but I'm happy to talk about it. When it pops up here in Arizona, they recently passed a law. It was signed on July 7th, okay? So that was just, a month ago, a month and a half ago. And this law, HB 2853, sponsored by Representative Ben Toma, number again, HB 2853. I looked at it last night. It's an excellent law. Basically, it made money available to private and homeschoolers. You know, money that would otherwise have been spent on them in public schools. Well, now it's called the Empowerment Scholarship Account, or the ESA, Empowerment Scholarship Account. And what the deal was is that nearly $7,000 for every student K through 12 who wants to attend a private school or to be homeschooled, the Arizona Department of Education website has been overwhelmed with parents seeking that money, that economic freedom. Well, the credit becomes available on September 24th, right? That's a month from now, but parents are applying for it in advance. Arizona has 1.1 million students, K through 12, and all of whom now have the option, Sam, of taking 90% of the state funding, which would have been allocated to the student's public or charter school, for private school tuition, homeschooling, tutoring, and other educational needs, such as transportation, textbooks, and computers. Also permitted is the cost of specialized teachers for subjects such as foreign language, art, and music. Wow, Sam, this really puts the power back in the hands of the parents, you know, those who are best suited to make decisions for their children's education. And I view this as a really marvelous development in the education arena. Of course, I don't like the strings, you know, the regulations that are attached, but it is a win for freedom, a step in the right direction, so to speak, in a system where taxpayers are fleeced against their will. At least now they have an opportunity to get some of that money to fund the education of their children as they see fit. So,
and I'm guilty of wanting the whole enchilada, ladies and gentlemen. I say that's not good because it'll put money in the hands of people then that'll be compromised with the strings attached, and it will then eventually... those groups will be, lobbying and advocating to keep the money flowing. Those are the concerns. However, Kurt Crosby reminds me, and Lowell Nelson reminded me once again, it's incremental, Sam. You can't get the whole enchilada or you'll get nowhere. This is a start, and at least people can teach what they want under these scenarios. Kind of like charter schools. They're not perfect, but they're way better than the propaganda schools. Even though they're government schools, they're not perfect, but they're a lot better, and it's a step in the right direction, Lowell.
That's right. Thomas Jefferson said, the ground of liberty is to be gained by inches. So this is just another inch in the long play, Sam. It's good direction.
Roger that. Thank you so much, Lowell. Ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job on your radio. It's all about God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. It's all about we the people waking up and taking action in the culture war to promote all that we hold dear. Will you help us? LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.